Grace to you and peace in the name of our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Ah, the songs of Christmas. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Oh, that's a high note there. Feliz Navidad. Well, we could do this all day, couldn't we? You might get sick of it, but we could. Well, thank you, thank you. Now, some people do it all day. They call it caroling. This season of the year is full of so many songs. There always seems to be new songs being written. It seems like everyone and their mother has a Christmas album out there floating around somewhere. I was looking online the other day, just kind of looking at some of the different names. I saw that aging 60s protest folk singer Bob Dylan has a Christmas album. Now, some of you younger folks aren't going to know this name probably, but Twisted Sister, the heavy metal rock band, has a Christmas album. Now, some of you older folks won't know this one, but William Hung, the tone-deaf American Idol wannabe, has a Christmas album. And the cast of characters from Star Wars, C-3PO and R2-D2, they have a Christmas album. You can't go anywhere this time of year where you don't hear some songs of the season playing somewhere in the background. They are as much a part of Christmas as fireworks are a part of the 4th of July. In fact, I think it would be very difficult for us to celebrate Christmas if somehow the songs were gone. It's the songs that set the tone, pardon the pun, for Christmas. The only problem is that the songs of the season that most of us sing have little to nothing to do with the reason for the season. So many of the songs have to do with these fanciful characters and wistful feelings and nostalgic traditions that have become part of the holiday. All things that divert our attention away from the birth of our Savior. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying that we should just throw out the songs, get rid of them, by no means. Songs are a huge part of Christmas. They always have been. Back to the very first Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, we had it in our gospel reading today. Mary sings a song of joy and praise as she reflects upon the gift of the Christ child that is growing within her womb. She said those words, "My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Zechariah sings a song of praise to God upon the birth of his son John, in anticipation of the birth of God's son, Jesus, that was soon going to take place. Zechariah sang these words, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." And finally, on the night of Jesus' birth, we read in Luke chapter 2, "That great multitude of the heavenly hosts joined the angel of the Lord in one chorus, and they sang out that song of heaven, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth." There is no event, no season of the year more suited to song than that of Christmas. For the birth of a Savior is reason to sing. Forgiveness of sins is a reason to sing. Light overcoming darkness. Hope overcoming despair. Mercy overcoming judgment. Those are all reasons to sing. Mary sang her praises to God, and Zechariah sang his praises to God, and the angels sang forth their praises to God, because this child born of Mary, this Jesus, came to save his people from their sin. He came to this world to suffer and to die upon a horrible cross, and to rise again from a grave, to be the payment for and the victor over our sin. It is because of his birth, his life, and his suffering, and his death, and his resurrection that you and I sit here today before God completely forgiven of our sin and promised of a life everlasting with God in his heavenly kingdom. And my friends, that is a reason to sing. And if ever there was a need for that hope in Christ, that time is now. The events of this past week at the school in Connecticut show us once again the depth of the world's sin. And it shows us our desperate need for a Savior. But that hope that we have in Christ, that hope is a reason to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And hark, the herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn King." And "Silent Night" and "Holy Night" and "Oh, come all ye faithful." And all the other songs that sing of our Savior's birth. Not just cutesy little songs that sing of Frosty and Santa and Rudolph. I know, I do it too. Those songs are fun to sing. Nothing wrong with them. They help put us in the so-called Christmas spirit, small s, which is a spirit of giving and love and peace and kindness and of days gone by, memories of such things. But too often those songs get in the way of the true Christmas spirit, capital S, which is the Spirit of God, whose job it is always to point us to Jesus as our Savior. For you see, as long as the people of this world are content with singing about Santa, they won't feel the need to sing about Jesus. And so I would encourage you this Christmas, as we sing the secular songs of the season, to remember always why we have good reason to be singing. It's not because Santa Claus is coming to town. It's because a Savior has already come to a town called Bethlehem. And he came to save us from our sin. This day and every day, our hearts are filled with song because a Savior has been born to us, and he is Christ the Lord. To God and God alone be the glory for the gift of his Son, Jesus. Amen.